Thank you, Lorraine. It's good to be back again. It's good to see all of you. I was actually thinking that maybe half of you won't be here because of the time change, so good for you for making it here. Well, sometimes when you claim that you have something to do with the weather, it's not a very good thing because look what happened now. I said last week that I've been bringing you good weather, and sure enough, it didn't happen today, and maybe it is appropriate because of the topic that we'll be talking about today, what's wrong with the world. So what is wrong with the world? What do you think? How will you answer that question? What do you think the people in the world out there is saying about this question? Is it the increase of crime, and especially violent crimes? Some people blame it on youth crimes and the proliferation of drugs. But why do we have these problems anyways? Well, some say it is the breakdown of families and morality. Others say that it is a failure of our educational system. Some say the problem with the world is the corruption and incompetence of government. And they are making a mess of things. Others are saying that the problem is greed of the big corporations. They are making the rich richer, and the poor get even more desperate. Some say that the problem with the world is the racial hatred and the religious fanaticism that fuels the conflict between people. Riots, bloodshed, ethnic cleansing, people doing terrible things to each other, bringing the world just so much closer to the edge of nuclear war. Just recently, I came across a documentary that just came out last month in the United States. It's not showing in Vancouver yet or in Canada, so I'm not sure if you heard of the documentary, I Am. How many of you heard of that? Probably not. But some of you may have seen the movie of Shadyac, Pat Ventura, Bruce Almighty, etc. He made a documentary trying to figure out what's wrong with the world and what can we do about it. I want to show a trailer of this movie just to see how this person tried to approach the problem of what's wrong with the world. Well, sure enough, when I use technology, I have to go to the backup.
My name is Tom Shadyac. I'm a movie director.
Action!
Facing my own death brought an instant sense of clarity and purpose. I decided to grab a camera and a film crew of four and start a journey to spark a conversation around challenging and rarely asked questions.
Have you ever seen any of my movies? Do you ever see Ace Ventura?
Ace Ventura? Do you ever hear that movie? It's a Jim Carrey movie.
No. See, I need a dose of reality. We are asking some of today's significant minds, what's wrong with our world and what can we do about it? Most importantly, what we could do about it.
Science has discovered elements that undermine everything we've been told about how we work and how the world works.
We are more interconnected with each other at a fundamental level than people realize or previously thought.
The truth of who we are is that we are because we belong.
The basis of nature is cooperation and democracy. It's in our DNA.
We're just at the point where a technology and this narrative are beginning to come together.
The science shows us that we are all connected.
Very deep connections at a very deep level.
This is the most profound discovery in all of physics.
What we do at the individual level really does affect the global environment.
We're really geared at a primordial level to feel what another person feels.
It's like we are born to be our brother's keeper. It's the way that we're wired.
This is the emergent story.
We are far grander than we've been told.
We started by asking what's wrong with the world, and we ended up discovering what's right with it.
Here. All right, good. Well, Shadyac once identified the underlying cause of the world's ill. He says, I didn't want to hear the usual answers like war, hunger, poverty, the environmental crisis, or even greed, stuff that I just shared with you earlier. He said, he explains, these are not the problems. They are the symptoms of a larger endemic problem. In I Am, I wanted to talk about the root cause of the ills of the world, because if there is a common cause, then we can talk about it, air it out in a public forum, then we can have a chance to solve it. Well, I'm not sure, well, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know exactly what he's saying, and I'm not sure I would agree with him. I have a gut feeling that his answer is going to be like this, that what's wrong with the world, well, I am what's wrong with the world. So what can we do about it? Well, I am the answer to what can be done about the problems in the world. So I think that would be his take. Well, there's some truth to what he's saying there, if that's indeed what his message is. But what is even more important is this point about the root cause of the problem. There seem to be so many different answers to what's wrong with the world. But when you turn to the Bible, there's just one answer. And that is sin. It doesn't mean that all those other things that I mentioned are not serious or real. But the Bible shows us that all these problems are only symptoms of a deadly disease, just like Shadyac has insightfully observed. All those things are just symptoms of a deadly disease. Everything that's wrong with the world can ultimately be traced back to its root cause, sin. That is the subject of Article 4 of our Confession of Faith. So here we are on number 4 of our series. So let's first think about what is sin. You know, when we think about sin, there are so many misconceptions. People usually in our culture today think that sin is really no big deal. It's just like, you know, people wanting to have some fun, right? It's all about trying to meet our physical desires. Right? Sex, food, just any pleasures that we want. Those are things that people would consider in the category of sin. And people don't think that it's a big deal because, you know, sometimes you've seen commercials about food item. I don't know whether chocolate or ice cream. And they would say, well, it's sinfully delicious. Sinfully delicious. So they actually use the adjective sin to say that something is good because it's so delicious and it's sinful. So that's how the world looks at it. It's not a big deal. It's just a little bit of fun. But then let's look at what sin really is. First, I want to give you a general definition and then some illustrations of ways that we can help us understand what sin is. First, the general definition. To put it in a very broad way, sin is not meeting God's expectation. Sin is simply not meeting God's expectations. If God is the perfect and all-powerful creator of the universe, don't you think that he has the right to require or expect how his creature behaves? Okay, but how then can the creatures of a perfect and all-powerful God do anything other than what he expects? Okay, he's a great, great question about why would a good God make a world that would fall, that would sin? And the answer, to put it very quickly, is that God gave people the freedom to choose to obey or disobey him. Okay, because freedom is required for real relationships. So if God wanted a world in which he can have real relationship with beings, with his creatures, us, human beings, he has to give us freedom. And with that freedom comes the choice that we can either go and follow God or we can turn away and disobey him and therefore sin. Okay? Well, let me illustrate this general definition by using a parable. Imagine there is a king of a great kingdom called Basileia. Okay? And he loves his subjects and gives them a lot of freedom. He does not rule his people through fear and intimidation like the dictators of this world, Gaddafi or Mubarak. But one day, the people of Basileia decide to be their own bosses and to get rid of the king. Okay? In spite of all that he has provided, all that he has done for his people, they form their own rebel army and start a rebellion. That's one way that we can understand sin. The Bible describes sin as rebellion. Rebellion against God. It's saying no to God's rule, because God is the rightful owner and ruler of this world. That when people say no to God, it is sin. Well, the rebellion in Basileia in our parable goes on to a second stage. It's not just saying no. Not only do the people declare war against the king, they try to take the control away. So even though the people are not strong enough to attack the king's castle and to remove him from his throne, they set up their own thrones in their own territories to make their own kings. That's another way that sin works. Sin is dethroning God, putting something else in God's place. Dethroning God. So who did the people of Basileia put on their thrones instead of God? Well, themselves, of course. Yes, self-centeredness is the most common example of how sin is dethroning God and rebelling against God. Now, Paul paints a blunt picture of those who are self-centered in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 to 4 says, "People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." What a picture of how humanity has degenerated. How we can see that in ourselves as well. Let's move on to the next question after we have taken a brief look at what sin is, what's definition. Well, what is the big deal? Most people just don't get why sin is such a big deal. Okay, could all the problems of the world really be described and explained by such a simple three-letter word? Isn't sin just a private issue that has to do with religion and not the world at large? Can you remember some of the examples that I've given about how the world thinks about sin? Okay, just a little bit of fun on the side, doesn't hurt anybody, right? Okay, well, let me just highlight three of the deadliest effects of sin to show how serious sin really is. Okay? Well, as soon as Adam and Eve sin, they experience alienation. Okay, that's the first effect of sin. Alienation. What is it? Alienation is the cutting off of relationships. Okay, it's becoming isolated, alone. When two people who are friends became strangers and even enemies, that's alienation. Well, let me unpack that and point out four different ways that sin can alienate people. Okay. Four ways that we experience alienation from the moment Adam and Eve fell from God. First, people are alienated from God. That's very obvious. No longer can they enjoy fellowship with God. Remember Adam and Eve when they first sinned? They tried to hide from God. Imagine. Okay, the God that made them, the God who was friend with them, that provided everything they needed. They try to run away and hide from God. instead of having God as our friend, people, we experience God as a stranger and worse, enemy. Okay? People find themselves cut off from their maker and are lost because we don't know why we're here. We try to find meaning and satisfaction in life. We can't find it because we have lost our tie with our makers, with our maker. Second, people are alienated from creation. Okay? Creation itself becomes hostile to humans. People no longer know how to live with nature and find themselves often at odds with it. Disease, wild animals, natural disasters, like the earthquakes that we have seen this week, are graphic reminders of how out of touch we as human beings are with nature. Okay. Earlier, Lorraine asked the question that we all ask, why is this happening? Why is this world so hard to live with? You know, sometimes we ask questions, well, why do hurricanes and earthquakes happen? Why did God make these things so evil? Well, you know what? There's nothing evil with earthquakes. There's nothing evil about hurricanes. It's just the earth taking a breath. It's just the earth taking a shake. What's evil about it is that we don't know how to live in a world that has hurricanes and earthquakes. What's wrong with this world is how we don't know how to build nuclear reactor that will not melt down when the power fails. That's what's wrong with the world. We are alienated with our creation because we don't know how to live with it. Third, people are alienated from each other. And this explains why there is so much hatred and social evil in this world. People just don't know how to get along. Instead of loving each other, people seek their own interest at the expense of others. Finally, people are alienated from themselves. People are out of touch with who they are, and they seek all kinds of dumb ways to find fulfillment and meaning. They get to self-destructive habits and lifestyle and don't even know or understand why. Recently, I don't know whether you get tired of the perpetual news about Charlie Sheen. Okay, the media seems to love reporting on a train wreck. And this person particularly has made a train wreck of his life. Okay, and it seems to be entertainment news because we find it entertaining to see how stupid a person can get. But it's sad news because it's just a reflection of how lost somebody can be when they're out of touch, when they're alienated even from themselves. Well, not only is the sin alienate, it is also enslavement. The second effect of sin is that those who sin are enslaved. Enslaved. They can no longer decide not to sin. We cannot help it. Okay? Sinners are helpless and cannot change themselves. No amount of education, discipline, or willpower can make them free from the control of sin. A lot of people think that what is wrong with the world today is ignorance. It's a lack of education. Sure, it is great to have education, but there are a lot of smart people who have degrees or even doctorates who are very sinful, who can do evil things, and who are lost and cannot help themselves. But the final effect of sin is condemnation. Those who sin are condemned. Since people have rejected God, they are guilty and not acceptable to Him. Unless a solution is found, all people are destined to eternal separation from God in hell. Not pleasant, but true. Very often we don't want to talk about hell because we think, well, if God is so kind and loving, why would He send anybody to hell? But God does not have to send anybody to hell. But if people decide to turn away from God, that is where they end up. I mean, how can people whose lives are dependent on God go on living before Him eternally when all they want is to be as far from Him as they can? Somebody has said, hell is just God giving people what they have always asked for. condemnation. That is the one last effect, deadly effect of sin that we have time to look at this morning. So, if sin has such devastating effect on people, it can cut us off from God, from creation, from each other, and from ourselves. It enslaves and it condemns. It is truly something terrible, but how widespread is this problem? How infectious is this disease of sin? Well, let us look at how widespread it is, how bad it is. First, the Bible tells us that sin is a condition that affects every person. Okay? Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." That's how widespread sin is. Everyone born after Adam, with the exception of Jesus, was born into sin. There is no escape. Okay? We cannot say that, well, we are brought up nice. Our family has taught us right. Well, they may have. But still, we are sinful. Okay? It doesn't matter whether we are born in a Christian family. Even that. Even Christian babies are born sinful. Think about that. Okay? Number two, not only is everyone born a sinner, every aspect of every person is messed up by sin. Every aspect of every person. Okay? We usually associate our sinfulness with our physical desires, like I said, sexual desires, our appetite for food, our craving for physical pleasures, comfort, or things like that. But in fact, sin twists every aspect of our being, any other aspect as well. Take our intellect, for example. Okay? Not very sinful, is it? But that, too, our intellect, too, is tainted by sin. Left to ourselves, we think of smart way to oppose God. Or we get proud in our own wisdom. Our spirituality, too, okay, is distorted by sin. So don't assume that if you have a religious feeling, it must be pure and from God. Our hearts are naturally deceptive. In short, there's not a part of us that can escape from the influence of sin. That is how widespread it is. Well, there is another aspect to how widespread sin is. Sin doesn't just affect people as individuals. It infects every group of people collectively. Every group of people collectively. Theologians use the biblical terms principalities and powers to describe this social dimension of sin that works above the level of the individuals. Okay? Whenever you have a group of people, you have a structure that controls the thought and the behavior of the members of that group. Okay? Think about it. Whether it is peer pressure in your school. Okay? When you go to school, you have a lot of peers. And that somehow shapes your thinking and your actions. Okay? Even the social control, a secret police in some countries. That's how some groups would control their members. Okay, take Nazi Germany, for example. You can't just blame everything that happened on Hitler. Okay, not everything that happened, not all the atrocities that were committed under the swastika were just the result of one individual or several individuals. It was as if the whole nation was possessed by Satan to hurt and destroy. It was that bad. Okay. Think about how Germany behaved. Okay. An otherwise highly cultural and sophisticated society like Germany, from which we get people like Martin Luther, the great theologian, from which we get great musicians like Bach and Beethoven, all those people. Wonderful culture. But somehow that whole nation was turned evil, almost possessed. Okay, this kind of collective sin is not only limited to nations. It can happen to companies, corporations, families, yes, even churches. Even churches. Even though group structures are necessary and can be good, beware of Satan's ability to use group structure to oppress. And therefore, even groups need God's intervention and salvation to enter in to bring healing. Now, today's message seems to be very gloomy. Well, it is, because before we can hear the good news, we need to hear the bad news. Okay? Why do we need to be saved if there's nothing bad from which we need to be saved from? Sin and evil are the bad news that make us cry out for the good news. And God in His grace is offering us the only solution for the mess that the world is in: salvation through Jesus Christ. Now that's a topic for my next sermon. Meanwhile, let's recognize how serious sin is and look to God for the solution. Let us help each other and help other people outside of this church who don't know God to do the same, to look to God for salvation, look to God for the solution, okay, so that they too can hear and respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay. Today we hear, we see the commissioning of a team that is going to Venezuela to share the good news with others. And in this church, you have planned events that will bring the gospel to your neighborhood, to your community. As we think of what we can do as individuals and as a church in response to the great earthquake in Japan this week, okay, certainly we will need to send financial and practical and physical aid to help people. But above all, the people in Japan need the salvation that only Jesus can bring. Because you can relieve a disaster for a short while, but ultimately, where will people spend eternity? How will people deal with the multiple fractures in their lives unless they hear about the good news of Jesus Christ? Let's bow in a word of prayer and in response to this message. Heavenly Father, we want to ask you to help us to reflect how even in our hearts sin is sometimes having its way. So Lord, we turn to you together as a church, as a congregation, and as individual members of this body in confession of the sins that we see in our own lives, the sins that is hurting relationship between us and you, between us and other people, between us and ourselves and this world around us. I pray that you will help us to look to God, look to you, and find the way to restore those hurts and brokenness that we see around us. Help us to be also messenger of this good news, so that we can share the way out of this mess for this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.